Oldies 1450 WTHU, the Terminator here, and I am so excited to be joined by the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in Toy Story 5 and CEO of Eat Happy Kitchen, Anna Pacino, and also we just found out that we kind of were neighbors at some point in Sterling, Virginia. Say hello to Miss Anna Pacino. Anna, thanks so much for hanging out this morning.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
All right, first question for you. Tell me about Eat Happy Kitchen and how that all came to be.
Well, Eat Happy Kitchen kind of, listen, I have a super cool day job, right, of doing voiceover, but there is some free time as an actor where you're waiting for your phone to ring, and I started recipe writing after I was diagnosed with celiac disease, which, long story short, the only thing to do with celiac disease is to not eat gluten. That's like the only prescription for it. So I had to figure out how to make yummy food, you know, I'm from the South, from Virginia, and I'm half Italian as well, so I need to make all the yummy foods, but make them gluten-free. So I started writing cookbooks, and then that turned into a food company. Now we have pasta sauces, clean spice blends. I teach people how to get off of sugar, how to get off of processed foods, and it just kind of all grew out of that. And then I get to jump in the booth. Actually, as soon as we're done talking, I'm jumping in the booth and doing another session for a client. So there we go.
Oh, that is absolutely amazing. Now, I am a diabetic. Can we find some fun things to eat for us diabetics for Eat Happy Kitchen?
Yes, we sure can. Are you type 1 or type 2?
I am type 2.
Okay, got it. So I help both type 1 and type 2. And my bestest friend is a type 1 who was diagnosed very late in life. And because I know it used to be called juvenile diabetes, but type 2 diabetes, you guys are my people. And here's what I mean by that. By the time you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, you're like, I don't really want to change the way that I'm eating. I don't want to give up sugar, but you have to because the doctor just told you, hey, listen, this is not good. The optics on being diagnosed, you know, at a high A1C and the whole thing. So, and I was pre-diabetic, which is why I switched my whole focus to low carb. So what I figured out from helping tens of thousands of people are not going to make dietary changes if the food doesn't taste good. And I am no different than that. Like, who wants to eat boiled chicken and steamed broccoli for the rest of their lives? The answer is literally no one. So yes, I can help you. I have delicious recipes. I make things really approachable. And I'm super proud of the fact that I get people back into the kitchen or into the kitchen for the first time. Like, my favorite thing in the world is when someone's like, I'm 40 and I've never roasted a chicken. And I'm like, I've got you. I'm going to show you not to be afraid of that. It's so easy.
That is so cool. Awesome. And so you were the voice of Mrs. Potato Head in the new Toy Story 5. I am such a big kid at heart. How did you get that role and how fun was it?
First of all, the most fun you could ever, first of all, I auditioned for it and then I didn't want to really believe that like that was going to be real. And so, you know, you audition for it, you've got to match, they call it the ref. You got to match the voice reference, right? And so I'm listening and going down the rabbit hole of the late, great Estelle Harris, who is also very famously known as George's mom in Seinfeld. And that's her real voice. Like, that's how she speaks. Yeah. You know what I mean? She has this incredible presence and voice and comedy. And she's amazing. And so I went down the rabbit hole of making sure that I could do that, what she was doing. But then you have to do the non-ref, meaning like you do a lot of play and say, you'll listen to the lines and imitate them. But then you've got to say fresh lines that she's never said before and make sure you can sustain the character. So that's basically the audition. But I get a call a few months later from my agent asking for my avails, meaning what's your availability to record the job? And I was like, you mean to like do the video game or the scratch track? Like, I didn't want to believe it was the actual movie, you know? And she was like, no, you dummy, it's the actual movie. So, and to do the job, it's amazing. Like, I now, even still to this day, I'm like, not every day can be a day working at Pixar, because most days aren't, if I'm being honest. Yeah. After my 25-year-long career, most days are not getting to go to Pixar and record Mrs. Potato Head. That's the best day at work.
Absolutely. That is so cool. Now, you've also done other voiceover work, especially for like NBC, things like that. How did doing the movie compare to doing just a regular voiceover?
I mean, doing the movie was like, it was actually surprisingly more fun. Voiceover is always fun. Like, yeah. It's such a treat to be able to go in the booth and speak on the mic. And it kind of feels like everything falls away. I always found it easier than working on camera. I still love filming recipe videos on camera, but I found it easier than acting and learning lines and hitting your mark. Yeah. So it's more fun. It's more freeing to be in the booth. I've done, you know, thousands of video games, cartoons, like you name it. I've done all the things. So anytime I get to be in the booth, it's a great thing. But I mean, like Pixar, you're in there with the director, with the editors are in the room. You're kind of like holding on to this, like, it's almost like a treadmill that doesn't move. It has the handles because you have to do exertions and body movements and you know, and you got to grab onto something. It helps, you know, the performance. But yeah, how does it compare? I mean, you're doing promos for NBC is amazing and it pays great, but it's kind of like the flipping burgers of the voiceover world. You got to knock it out. They only run for a couple days, then you got to get to the next ones. Yeah. There are always more shows to promote, you know?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. That is great. And fun one for you. Do you have any oldies artists, favorite oldies artists or songs?
All of them.
Like, oh, there you go.
What are we considering oldies now? Because honestly, my daughter thinks that the 90s is vintage. She bought her first car. She bought herself, and it was a 1990. It is a 1998 Land Cruiser, and they're all the kids like vintage 90s cars. I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. Define vintage.
We're thinking like 50s, 60s, or 70s.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Crosby, Stills, Nash are all-time favorites. And then I moved to an area where David Crosby was our neighbor before he passed. And that was incredible. I always called him the mayor because he was always out in the town, you know, having lunch. And my husband and I would chat with him from time to time. He didn't know who we were. But it was like one of those things where you're like, that guy's, you know, he had that reputation of being difficult. And he was not at all. He was awesome. So Crosby, Stills, and Nash, always an oldies favorite. Any sort of old, like, vintage country music, mm-hmm. you know, like Johnny Cash, old Dolly Parton, Patsy Cline. Like, I love all of that.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us today. And check her out. Check out Toy Story 5. It's an awesome movie. And check her out, Eat Happy Kitchen. Anna, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
All right, stick around. I got a lot more great oldies coming right up.